Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Two Drink Minimum. If you are a white man attempting open mics and you have dreadlocks, you probably hate this show. The man in front of me is out here breaking records, breaking hearts. It's comedy legend Mike Ward.
I am Mike Ward. You are Pentelis and our friend over there, Goldilocks.
She took the bear's hair with you. That's what it was. They tried the soup, they tried the porridge, they tried the bed. She settled for the hair. Beautiful. Well, you know the story of Goldilocks?
Nope.
Oh.
You don't know Goldilocks? Jesus fucking Christ. Goldilocks. For fuck's sakes.
Oh, hold on. I got to Google this.
No, you're not going to read a tale of a child's tale Goldilocks. During the podcast. Google it after, bro. Yeah.
I have no idea what the fuck this is.
A little girl that she wanted to go.
Oh, she's the bitch that breaks into the house and eats their fucking spaghetti. The bear's spaghetti, no?
The bear's spaghetti. What the fuck? You've been hanging out with Guido way too much. Do you think Goldilocks is a bitch? She broke into the fucking bear's house.
He read the Italian version. Yeah. My nonna made the spaghetti. It's a blonde American whore. I walked in and took a Gino, a Guido. Doing a Reno spaghetti.
That'd be amazing if the story calls her a bitch and a whore. Mama, tell me the story about the blonde whore who breaks into the house and eats everybody's spaghetti.
She had come in the middle of the night. Very anti-Italian.
This spaghetti is too hot.
This spaghetti is too cold. This spaghetti have a hair in it. This is so stupid.
The spaghetti. God damn. What a fucking funny story.
That's absurd, bro. Mom spaghetti. So tonight, we're recording this early because we got shows in Quebec with you next week. Tonight is the night of the Rebels.
Yeah.
The gala.
So when people see this, the Rebels gala will have been like 4 or 5 days ago.
Yeah.
Tonight at the Place des Arts, one of the big rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's me, you, Preach, Thomas Levac, Maxime Martin, Jeff Mercier, which is going to be crazy. Did I forget anyone? I said Preach. Oh, Charles Deschamps is also going to make an appearance. I'm going to put him on first. We've got, and from what they tweeted me this morning, two gay dudes that want to come support.
Oh, nice.
People weren't listening to me.
The gays are down with you.
I'm a gay icon.
Yeah.
I was a black icon for years. Now I'm a gay icon. I'm Mr. International. I'm Pitbull. I'm Mr. Worldwide.
But you didn't have the gays when you were chubby. Since you lost the weight, the gays came on board.
You know what? Seriously, gays, what the fuck? Yeah. What's going on? When I was big, we got bears.
Yeah, they had me.
We got enough bears. Yeah. We have Poseidon. God damn it. Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm doing a gay show tonight. Tonight is a very gay night for me. I booked this before booking your show. I'm doing an outdoor show for like a LGBTQ show.
Okay.
And they thought of me, which is, you know, makes sense because I look like a lesbian.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
You're like, it's like the biggest lesbian comic.
Yeah.
That's a guy.
Yeah.
Oh, if that's how she identifies, sure, bring her on. Sure,
This is 2022, lady.
Yeah. We don't mind. Let's go.
But yeah, I got an offer to do this show because they wanted me to talk. Like when I wrote my trans bit years ago. They booked me on this for the 2020 festival.
That's a good joke.
They were like, hey, would you do your trans bit in front of the trans community? And I was like, I'd love to. Like, because I was like, fuck, yeah, I've done this joke. And I did a show in a drag queen bar once. I did that bit. And there weren't a lot of trans people, but the three or four that were there fucking loved it. So I was like, this will be good. And it'll send a message. We always talk about how comics, if you're not gay or if you're not trans, and you talk about it, how you're a transphobe.
That's absurd.
So I just want to send the message that Yeah, it's fuck. You can talk about trans people and not be a transphobe.
Of course, you can talk about everyone.
Yeah, so I when they offered me this, I was like, yeah, I'm doing it. And but that was 2020, and then I felt like a fucking switch and a slide. And then like, when Michelle reminded me I'm doing this, I was like, you think that's a good idea with Chappelle getting punched every time he goes on stage
and having homeless
people try to stab him. So I'm doing that show.
Good manager. He's like, look, it's a risk I'm willing to take.
It's like,
what do you mean you're willing to? You're not the one going on stage.
Yeah, you sold out one arena. Chappelle sells out arenas every night. It's worth the risk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's like, we're getting somewhere. Yeah. I feel like there's more arenas in your future. No, I think it's going to go well. Everything you see about people getting offended or stabbing or all that, it's always the extremists. Yeah. It's just like Muslims. It's always the extremists you see. It's not a picture of everyone.
Yeah.
Like I had the, I'm going to talk about it on stage tonight. I had a complaint from Just for Laughs. They're asking me to remove the videos that their legal team already approved in French when I was promoting the rebels.
I hate that they have fucking legal teams.
Who already approved it?
It's stupid that they approve stuff.
And the butt of the joke was that women aren't funny, right? That was the end of the joke. And women comedians were putting crying laughing emojis on women comedians. And then you have some people, one of them was a gay guy. So I was like, why is this gay guy getting involved? He's like, this isn't funny, this is mean or whatever. It's like, who the... But the women are laughing.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's going on.
The only reason like you don't have women on Les Rebelles is you asked a bunch of women and they were all busy or said no.
They were all busy and they were all big names. And even on Saturday, Rosalie had asked me, she goes, what do you think? Can I still come? This I go, if you can actually make it, you're super more than welcome. Yeah. Obviously, because my initial lineup was bigger and it was not half, but there was four women on it. So if they could still make it, but they were all busy, and I'm not going to force them because it's a new type of Just for Laughs. When women say no now, we accept it. We don't force them anymore. So because this is the era of me, you know. So yeah, so that was the original joke that I was going to put, and they said, oh, we don't want to be associated to our old rapes. Yeah. So then we came up with a joke of the
they only want to be associated from him to the new rapes.
They only want to be associated to the new rapes. Yeah,
look.
Tell him he's got some work to do.
Yeah, I was waiting for it.
He's got to erase the old stigma. God, so that's what. But people, and then they go, we took him all down. Pantel says take him down. So my manager told me, and I said, I'm not taking shit down. And he goes, well, he has to. I go, I don't have to because I don't believe what you guys are telling me. Maybe one person was offended, but if we do that, then we have to take everything down because someone's going to get offended.
They want you to take it down from your page?
Yeah, from my page. I said no.
Yeah. It's your page. Yeah. What are they going
to
do?
That's what I said. Yeah. I said, no, he has to. And then I sent, you saw my text. It was three ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha in a row. Like, I'm not, if it was a joke that I thought was borderline, like I was like saying, I don't know, we got to kill these Vietnamese. I don't know, something crazy that if somebody just reads, like, oh my God, he wants to kill Vietnamese people. Then I'd be like, okay, I don't want people to be sad. I want them to be happy. But this was such an obvious goof.
God damn.
Yeah.
As I said, I'm not doing it because I don't believe in that. If I do it, then there's no point of having a show called The Rebels.
Yeah.
You
know, then they stopped asking. They took it down. They didn't ask me to take it down.
There's something crazy about the time we live in now. It's people tell you to take shit down.
Yeah.
Like, I had a couple of years ago, I forget what the tweet was. I tweeted a joke about a journalist, and at first people were laughing, but then other journalists got on board and defended the guy, and then it turned into this whole thing. And this one guy I worked with, like, in the 90s, just...
DM'd you?
DM'd me, delete your tweet. And so I just answered back, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Like, go fuck yourself. Who the fuck are you? I'm going to listen to a fucking guy that worked at Music Plus 20 years ago?
Yeah, shut the fuck
go
up.
Go fuck
yeah.
yourself.
People don't... Yeah. You don't get it.
Yeah.
This whole mob mentality, they all jump on board. This week, that's what I've noticed. That's why I stopped. Like, I don't give a fuck about it. I noticed, people in the media take stuff that I say a little out of context. They'll write it differently. Even the article, bro, in the Journal de Montréal, the headline.
Yeah.
It's clickbait. The headline was clickbait.
What was the headline?
Shocking humor at the festival.
Yeah.
That's like, and my face smiling. He could have used a bit of it. That's like, you think, oh, I'm going to click on it. This guy's talking about killing people or some shit, you know? And then you're like, this guy's a cool dude. You should go see his show. Yeah. He's like, yeah, but the headline. The headline. And they whitened up my photo. I look whiter.
Oh, yeah, they whitened
them
up.
Laughing about that.
Yeah, and they made him look like a psychopath. The picture, they must have used like a still shot from a video.
No,
it was
an actual picture. It was a good quality
picture.
Photo from Michelle. Okay.
Yeah, you can tell that that isn't a fucking
shitty video. No, that was a good quality photo from Michelle. Just said they whitened it up a bit, which made me laugh.
Yeah.
I was like,
I only noticed your teeth were crazy white.
Yeah,
I was like, God damn, I'd never noticed
how white. the whole photo seemed whiter. My skin, too. I looked gray in it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
they put, like, a filter on it, I guess.
You look like Elon Musk on vacation.
Yeah, I don't care.
Do you think they're like, this guy's too ethnic for Gilman Marianne? You can't have one of these goddamn ethnics.
Maybe. Because then everybody was commenting. They're like, because they wrote Greco-Quebecer. So, are you half Quebecois? And then I was like, well, I'm not. I was born here, so I'm Quebecer.
Yeah, yeah, you're 100% Quebecer.
Yeah, that's what it means, because I'm here. It's not... But the way they made it seem so, anyways, that made me laugh. But it was just funny when I saw that the title. I go, oh, this one Mike goes through on like the 1,000th degree.
Yeah,
Mike could be like, I'm gonna kill tonight, and then someone's like, Mike said he has a plan for killing tonight. Yeah. Find out now. The thing it's so crazy.
The thing that sucks and most people don't know, I think, is it's never the journalist that writes the headline. It's the headline writer.
Yeah.
So there's one dude at the Gazette, one dude Journal de Montréal. Ah. So they fucking and now. Like we used
who's,
to.
Who's in charge of whitening up photos?
Yeah. I have it, by the way. You want me to bring it up for people?
Yeah.
Nah, you don't have to, but whatever. Okay, bring it up. Oh yeah. I look like a. Who messaged me last night and said you look like a fucking wax mannequin?
Your teeth are psychotic. So white on that. It looks like dentures.
Dentures. Yeah, it looks psychotic, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you're like, oh goddamn, fucking a picture. Where are my teeth? Yeah. I gotta put my.
I
look like a
mental patient. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, you have crazy eyes on that.
And you know what's funny? Is that we sent them the new headshots. That's what my manager said. Yeah. So they had pictures to choose from.
I feel like they did this on purpose.
I don't care.
Actually, though, a picture from of the you bordel? On stage is better than a headshot. Because a headshot would make it seem like it's just a press release.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he has a lot of pictures on stage, too.
But also, I think they did this on purpose to show... Oh, he's not some random guy. Look at where he's performing.
Yeah.
Because that's the biggest club.
Yeah. They don't let that makes sense.
They don't let like open micers go on the weekends and shit. So
Okay.
So that's why they did it. But the guy was it was a long interview. He was nice, he laughed, we said jokes.
Yeah.
And I was hoping he would put something that he didn't put in. Because I noticed that it clicked in his head because he laughed. He's like, oh fuck. He goes, that's a good point. I told him about, because he goes, do you worry now that you saw what happened with Mike and Mike won at the Supreme Court? So what do you think? It's done now, the people overreacting and trying to cancel. And I said, look, honestly, I don't think about it too much because, yes, in one way, it opens some eyes on how stupid it is. But in the second way, people always complain. And the people that complain, I go, are clearly low IQ. Because if you see, and I gave him the example of Kevin Bacon murder someone on screen. If you're calling MGM or Warner Brothers and you're like, I saw Kevin Bacon and he fucking killed someone. Please call the police. And he starts laughing. I go, isn't that insane? He's like, of course. Yeah. He says, that's crazy. I go, it's the same. We're the only art form that when you come in, if you're too stupid, when you're sitting there, you forget that you're watching art. And you're like, oh, I gotta call somebody. Yeah. Like, it's so it's so absurd. I go to him. It's so absurd. Like, no one sits in Spider-Man and says, like, hey, this is... He has spider powers.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Animals don't talk. Like, it's absurd. If you do that, they're going to think you're crazy. Yeah. But for comedy, people do it, and you have other idiots that support them.
And speaking of stupid, there was a lady that duetted your video on TikTok.
She duetted me?
Yeah, she duetted you.
Did we
dance? No, the one where you, the women joke. Oh, the what is a woman?
Yeah.
And she goes, it's not funny, super easy edition. She just sits there and doesn't react.
Yeah.
But then with the funniest shit, bro, the comments are either, she has a few like supportive comments towards her, but most of them are either ripping her or laughing and complimenting. Yo, oh my God, he's so funny. And bro, I found it so funny, bro. I was like, look at this shit, bro.
Poor
I was
girl.
Like, what? And then somebody wrote something, tell me, you don't understand the second degree without telling me you don't understand the second degree. Oh. And I was like, holy shit, bro.
People are starting to realize the people, when it's a good joke.
Yeah.
The people who don't, or they get offended. The other thing is,
you can find it not funny, but offended, you know?
Oh yeah, because you can find it. But that's the other thing I told them. I go, if they said that it's offensive for me to say that someone's not funny, and you're saying you're not funny because you said someone's not funny, then aren't you doing to me what I just said? So should I be offended?
Yeah.
It doesn't. It's a weird circle. But it's only when it's you. You're allowed to make fun of everyone else. So me on stage, I make fun of Greeks. Remember when I was calling Greeks dumb and I have the new bit about that? I'm not, Greeks aren't offended. Like my, they come, they laugh. They're like, fuck, I know dumb Greeks like that. Like you make fun of everyone.
Because there's dummies in every nationality or community or whatever.
You have to make fun of everything or nothing.
Yeah.
All acceptable or none of it.
Yeah, whenever people, and I started saying this on stage, like it's not that we can make fun of everything. We have to make fun of everything because that comedy, like humor, takes the tension out of stuff.
Yeah.
So if there's a very tense moment, and I've noticed this every time I go to a funeral, as soon as I make one person laugh, everyone around me is fucking, okay. It sucks, but fuck, that was funny.
Yeah, we have a life. We're still alive.
Yeah.
Dude, Saturday, I did my 1 hour. Yeah. Bro, the morning I got, the news that I got in the morning was that my uncle had died in Greece.
Holy shit.
I didn't tell him, I don't want to depress you.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
My condolences, by the way.
I love that you didn't want to depress him and it's your uncle. Look, I don't want to get you down. You've never met him, but my uncle died.
Yeah. What? So I spent the night celebrating.
Yeah. God damn, I can
No, yeah, but it was my dad's brother. So it's just like, it was sad, but I was like, okay, I have two choices. Either ruin everybody's day. I didn't ruin everybody's day. I even made a joke to my dad when I called him, you know, and he's like, you know, and it's his brother, imagine.
Yeah.
But no, it's just, it was sad. That's what happened, but I'm not happy about it, but I had to make a joke about it.
Yeah.
So when I spoke to his brother, I made a joke about it. He giggled. And he's like, yeah. And he goes, you know, we're old. It's going to happen to everyone. He just starts, you know, he was normal.
Yeah.
But I broke the tension by joking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it's not. I don't hate the person. I don't. First of all, I haven't met that comedian yet. I've already said it. I must have met thousands now. I haven't met that comedian yet. That comedian that they make up, the fake one, the guy who goes on stage and he's actually like he hates people. This and that. Most comedians were night performers.
Yeah.
All we know is drag queens, other comics, alcoholics. So we're pretty
marginalized.
All the marginalized. Yeah. So that's why we make fun of everything. That's why I don't give a shit what you are, who you are, especially shit that you can't choose. The only stuff I get mad at is stuff that you could choose. You can't choose to be gay or whatever. It's who you are, but you could choose to not be an asshole. So if you're an asshole, bro, that's the only thing where I draw the line. But the rest is, we're just making fun of everyone. So if you get offended, it's a you problem. That's why I don't care anymore. That's why I'm not like I'm not go defend myself. I make jokes because I can't change your mind.
It's mostly
problem.
Though people that get offended. I've noticed. Well, for me and maybe other comics, it's different. But for me, it's never people that are actually in the room.
Yeah, always.
Like all because now I'm at a level that when people come to my show, they come to see me, so they know what to expect. So they're just super happy.
Yeah.
But it's people that aren't in the room. If it starts by someone either blogging or a journalist or just someone even on Twitter going, ha, 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 when he said this about fucking like I'm sure tonight the show, the trans people in the crowd are going to love it.
There's going to be some trans
somewhere. If some trans person writes, oh, my God, when he said that he recognized his friend after the transition.
The wrong surgeon.
Yeah. You got the wrong surgeon. People that read that are going to lose their shit. They're going to go, how can he say that? Trans lives matter. And then I'll be like the piece of shit that hates trans people.
It's so fucking stupid. I like some people that get it. Like the gay guys that you said today that were tweeting me, they're coming to the show today, they're the best because they go, we're coming because of your homophobia.
That was funny.
Yeah, because people understand there's another degree to comedy.
There's something I love too about like the other day, the last Susie Good we did in the Bordel before the Bell Center. One of my guests, there were two gay guys in the front, and one of the guests was talking about when he was little, he was afraid of the dark, and he was a child actor. And then he starts saying how he'd always in the middle of the night panic at the hotel and then knock at one of the women's doors and go, can I sleep with you? And then the women were like, okay. But he goes, one time there weren't any women. There was just this old gay guy. And then as soon as he said that, you felt like a tension in the room. They were like, oh, fuck, is he going to say that he got molested by an old gay guy? And then the two gay guys were like excited and nervous. And it was so fucking funny.
They're like, yeah, let's go.
And he said he knocked. And then the old gay guy was like, this is the 80s too or early 90s. So the old gay guy was like, no, you can't come in here. Because he was like, fucking.
Even if I don't do anything, they might just say.
We're already in a fucking homophobic society. So, and then he was like, the old man was like, oh, okay, well, come in. And then the old man didn't sleep in the bed because he didn't want. And then I was like, so the next morning were people freaking out? He was like, no, I snuck out early. And I was like, oh, that's even worse.
Like somebody sees you.
Yeah, someone sees you. They're like, oh, that old gay guy just fucked that little scared kid.
Poor guy, bro. But yeah, it's fucking, it's been, this whole last couple weeks has been intense, but in a good way.
Yeah.
Like we've gotten to experience so many highs, so much crazy, crazy. I don't know how the rest of the year is going to go. I think it's going to go good. Everything's going to be well as long as we don't get locked down. But it's hard to compare it.
Yeah. I'm just, I'm happy to, I renovated. I don't know what renovation means, I think. I reorganized and redecorated the second story of my house.
It's done
so
complete
it's
now?
It's done, yeah. I finished the day before yesterday. I want to do that the week before the Bell Center, just so that I wouldn't think about anything. I'd just be, you know, fucking, you know, setting shit up. So my mind would just be on that. And I didn't get to finish. So then when I got back from the Bell Center, I had one of my guest bedrooms was just full of fucking garbage. Another guest bedroom didn't have any covers, and I couldn't get the covers because they were in the first bedroom. So, like, Felu came to sleep at my house. I got there way later. But they were sleeping in a bed with no fucking covers.
Oh, you treat him like a shitty stepchild that you hate.
Yeah, exactly. I treat him the way his
he grew up being treated. Yeah. Poor Falu, bro. Like, it never changes.
Yeah, and Marie found one. My dog shit in my bed a couple of months back. He shit on the pillow.
Amber heard of you.
Yeah. So I'd taken the pillowcase off and fucking threw it out and threw the covers out, threw everything out. But I had just left the pillow like on the ground. And Marie found that pillow, and then she picks it up, and then so she had given him a pillow with fucking old dog shit on it.
if people know the history of Falu, his life, God, that is terrible, bro. No matter how much success you get,
you still sleep in dog shit.
God damn, poor guy. He's the nicest fuck. The fact that he's not a serial killer, means we don't understand human psychology.
Yeah.
He had all the makings.
Well, maybe he had the urges.
You know who he should have been? It's a joke. He should have been Cletus Cassidy. Who's Carnage?
Yeah.
Carnage from Spider-Man universe. Okay. He was just like the most crazy psychopath ever. And then he got this alien symbiote, so he used his powers to even kill more people. But he was like a murderer to like the crazy degree. He was in foster care. Everybody hated him. He was abused.
Yeah, Falu was in foster care, I think, from the age of 2 to the age of 7. So those are your formative years.
And he turned out, he has the most fucked up childhood.
Yeah.
And he's like the sweetest dude.
And he's the best dad too. I think a lot of people, if you grow up like that, you either turn into the shittiest dad or the best dad.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't want to be like my fucking parents were. So I'm gonna be the best.
I hope that I go that route. I hope I become the best. Yeah. I feel to my dog. My daughter, you're gonna I treat be a good her dad. Like a little princess. No. I hope with my real kids I'm like that.
Yeah.
Too. No. I'm not like, well, you're not a dog. You're not a dog. Go sleep in the kennel.
Daddy, I gotta pee. Go in the pee pad. Go in the pee pad like
why
your
do you
brother.
Think we got these pee pads? Your brother gets it and he's a dog.
That's funny.
You're yelling at him. Who didn't change the litter box? I told you. If I buy you a litter box, you gotta clean it.
Yeah, like, bark once for yes, bark once for yes. You know, no, I think I'll be a good parent. I don't want like abuse. I want people around me being happy.
Yeah.
Like I think, but the only thing is, I'm always worried about is, imagine if I'm successful, I don't want to have spoiled kids.
Yeah.
It's gonna be hard.
If I see the way you treat your dog, your kids are gonna be so fucking spoiled.
My dog is different though. My dog is because I was trying to recoup all the years of abuse she suffered. Yeah. My kids are starting from scratch.
Yeah.
so you gotta abuse them first.
No. So I might have to avoid. If I have money, I might have to avoid telling them I have money. I don't want them. Like I have to teach them how to be human beings.
Yeah.
How to treat people and shit. Because I've seen kids. I remember growing up, kids that had a lot of money that weren't taught how to be. And they looked at everyone like with their noses up.
Nah.
I don't want that.
That's what I like about Yvon Deschamps, the Quebec comic.
Yeah.
He made a shit ton of money, but he raised his kids.
Right.
Right.
That's what I want.
Yeah, his kids grew up thinking, okay, I gotta work. I have to, as soon as I'm out of school, gotta get a job. Even during school, they had part-time jobs to like pay for their shit. So he was like, and he told me he gave him enough money to buy a house, or he bought them each a house or a condo or something. So it's still a fuck. That's your starting ahead of everyone.
But yeah.
But you still have to pay your
bills. And you have morals, like he taught them. Like, I want my kids to understand, like when they go to school, dude, everyone there the janitor, the teacher, all, they're all better than you because you're contributing to society. You're freeloading. You're there learning to play. You have to understand that they're better. You're not like little things like you have to contribute. You have to help. You have to be part of it. Like that's what I would like to teach. Let's see if I get lucky.
You have to give to your community.
Let's see if I'm lucky and I can have kids understand, or if I have fucking retards and it's gonna be a struggle. Yvon Deschamps is it really his granddaughter Charlotte Cardin?
No,
or no, they're not related.
No.
Someone had told me that.
No,
and I was like, that's incredible.
No, I think one of his daughters was Charlotte Cardin was first. People in Quebec first heard of her when she did La Voix, the voice,
Voice.
I think she won it. I think she won the first year.
Awesome.
Yvon Deschamps' daughter was one of the people that she beat.
Oh, that's why. So it's a mix up. Someone told me that. I was like, that's amazing if that's his daughter.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know his wife is a singer, and one of his daughters was on The Voice. I don't know if she's still really doing it. I think all of his daughters kind of sing.
Okay, that's good. I like singing.
Except for Annie is his daughter that became a comic.
He has a daughter that became a comic?
Yeah, and then she's not doing it anymore. I think she was talking about just doing like open mics in English, but I told her she should change her last name because there's like her father is a fucking Quebecois legend.
Royalty.
So you can't, it's like if you came. It's like if Kelly Carlin started stand up, you'd be like, "Oh fuck, Kelly Carlin's gonna be amazing."
Yeah, George Carlin.
And then
you'd
be like, "Nah, you know, she's got
no George."
Yeah, she's got potential, but she's no George. It's like when you see
Michael Jordan's son or something. If Michael Jordan's kid was playing, you'd be like, "He's not Mike." Yeah.
Like Chris Rock, I don't like Chris Rock isn't what he used to be, but Chris Rock in fucking his prime, he was so fucking good. Yeah. And then when his brother started doing stand up. Tony Rock, you're like, nah, you know, he's okay. And then he has another brother doing
stand-up. Another brother?
Yeah, he has a brother that played in Love, the show on Netflix.
I don't watch it.
It was a show by Judd Apatow. That brother is actually good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did a show with him in New York, and he was like legit good. Like Tony Rock is, people go see Tony Rock because Chris Rock tickets are too expensive or he's not coming to town. So you're like, it's kind of the same. But this guy, fucking totally different.
What's his name?
I don't know. Google Chris Rock's brother, not Tony. But this guy, I was like asking people, why is he so different? It's because he didn't grow up with Chris Rock.
He's got, oh my God, he's got a lot of brothers. He's got Tony Rock, Jordan Rock.
I think it's Jordan Rock.
Kenny Rock.
That's a good name, Jordan Rock.
Andre Rock, Charles Rock, and Brian Rock.
No, I think it's
the
Jordan.
The Rocks.
Click Jordan Rock.
How come they didn't mention Dwayne The Rock?
I knew you were going to say that.
Can you put it up on screen?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that guy.
Jordan Rock.
Okay. Jordan Rock.
Oh, it looks nice.
Yeah, and apparently he grew up, because Chris Rock's family is from, I don't know if it's Virginia or Mississippi or somewhere in the South. And they all moved up north. And he grew up with the grandmother in the South.
Okay, and he's hilarious.
So his
style is different.
Totally different. But funny because it's in the genes.
Yeah.
But he wasn't overly influenced. Like you can tell Tony was really influenced by his brother. Whereas this guy was probably influenced by other comics too.
So it's his own thing. Oh, yeah. Shit. Okay, I want to check this guy out. Jordan Rock. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, I have something to look forward to.
I've only seen him do like 10 minutes.
Yeah, but
10 minutes was amazing.
But I know you and I know the way you judge comedy and stuff. You wouldn't be saying it was good if it was mediocre.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're saying he was good, this guy must be fucking good. Plus, his genes, bro. He's got the Rock genes.
Is Kenny Rock, is that a beard or is that a
that's
mask?
That's a mask.
Okay, yeah, you thought it was a beard.
I thought it was a beard. I was like, what a weird beard.
Yeah, look penciled in. I get it.
Yeah.
I wish I had like a family of that size, bro. That's so cool.
Yeah, that's
like,
a lot of siblings.
Like, fucking six brothers, bro. Like, seven. Like a street gang.
Does he have any? Yeah. You can literally form your own street gang.
Yeah, you're at the shows. You have your whole crew there. Like us, we have that now. But imagine if you had like your brothers. Like you had, that'd be so cool, bro.
My mom, they were 11.
That's fucking
crazy. Yeah, 11. Damn. They were actually 12, but one died at birth. So, 11.
Yeah, goddamn.
Yeah, that's my mom too. They were five, but all sisters.
Okay.
No boys.
Yeah, since my mom was a Catholic, and in those days, like French Catholic. So the priest, they were like, the English are taking over. So fucking we got to pop more kids out. So we'll be more than the English.
Yeah.
And my grandmother had, in the span of 13 years, she had 11 kids and a miscarriage. Jesus. And the year that she didn't get pregnant, the priest came over to tell her she wasn't a good Catholic. God, like, damn. This is after like 8 years in a row of popping kids out.
Holy what shit. The
fuck, she missed bro. 1 year, and he was like, yeah, you're a shitty
you're
Catholic.
You're going to hell.
Oh, yeah. That's dirty.
What a piece of shit. What a fucking garbage religion.
They're all, yeah. all of them are garbage, yeah. and they're all dumb. And what sucks is that people fall for it for so many years.
Yeah.
They fall for all that stuff. If you're not doing, and good people yeah. who try their best. But they're never good enough.
I'm happy that I'm not gullible like that, especially since I got into Scientology.
Yeah, you changed it too. Yeah, everything. I'm
level four now.
Bro, when I discovered, I'm level two. When I discovered Lord Xenu, and they were telling about that, I was like, I want to know more. I need to know when is the spaceship coming yeah. to get me.
You know,
I'm not gullible.
When I was young.
I'm not gullible like these Muslims, bro. I'm not gullible. I'm waiting
That's
for
what
spaceship.
I love about religion, though. Everyone that's religious is like, look at those fucking idiots. Yeah. Those fucking dummies. They believe that shit? That's bullshit. That is bullshit written by man. This one, though.
Yeah.
This one. God sent his message.
Yeah. L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah.
He's a sci-fi god.
You know what I found out? I didn't know about the Muslim religion.
Yeah.
That they have Adam and Eve in the Quran.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
They took
But they changed the name of Eve to make it sound Arab. But they didn't change the name of Adam.
Which is amazing.
Adam is still Adam. And I've met like a bunch of Jewish guys named Adam, a bunch of Christians named Adam. Never met a Muslim Adam.
Yeah, they don't want Jewish names.
Well, Saddam. It sounds similar.
Yeah. But Saddam, it should have been Saddam and whatever.
Yeah,
fuck, you already have a name that sounds like
you
Adam.
Could change
Call
it.
Him Saddam.
Saddam and Eve.
And then people would be like, it's Saddam and Eve, not Saddam and Steve.
Yeah. Amazing. It's all, but I understand needing something to help you get through time. Yeah.
Especially, like, the only time
Don't
I
let
really
it make you hate people.
I really get religion is when you get sick and you think you're going to die.
Yeah, you
like
need something.
Someone
to
that's on their deathbed, knowing or thinking that Allah is going to save you or Jesus or whoever, you're like, okay, this part is over, but now it's the beginning of the next adventure.
Yeah.
Is way easier than goddamn. I there's so much shit I want to do that I didn't do.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah.
It's fucking scary.
Yeah. My wife's aunt died last week.
Oh, I'm
sorry. And apparently, like, she got cancer and she found out she had cancer like less than a month before she died. Like maybe 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And but like the thing that I
everyone's
that,
dying
that I was yeah, really impressed by her the way she was is she like she accepted it. Like she was like, I had a good life and I did a lot of things that she smoked and drank and you know and she was like, I can't be angry and why I've known for like fucking ever that everyone told me cigarettes are gonna give you cancer and I got cancer and she accepted it and I was like, god damn, that's impressive. Because when
that's
my mom got cancer, she said she accepted it, but like the last couple of days, like she was out of it, and whenever she'd come back she'd be like, I don't want to die. And that's the fucking you're like, god damn it, god damn, that is rough. Yeah. That is rough.
All of it, but a lot of people are going now. It's been a weird
year. Yeah. The actor, what's his name? Paul.
Pauly Shore.
Pauly Shore died.
No, the big guy. What's his name? He passed away.
Oh, Paul Sorvino.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, the big guy.
Yeah.
I love that you described Paul Sorvino as the big guy.
The big guy.
He fucking played in the
Goldilocks movie.
Cartoon of the Goldilocks.
I have a scene from the Goldilocks, by the way.
He's a Godfather Bear.
What I was talking about before, I have a scene from the Goldilocks.
I hope we get copyright struck.
No, this is.
I hope a little one Harry, is in bed yesterday. First thing YouTube sends me is copyright because they keep putting videos and music up on their show without thinking.
Yeah, well, no, I keep saying don't put audio, but he puts audio sometimes by mistake. Anyways.
Well, your video was banned in all these countries, but since it wasn't banned in UK, it was banned in Pakistan. Sri Lanka.
Oh, yeah, I saw that too. Yeah, that's why I didn't tell you anything. Yeah, hold on. Just a second.
So it was banned in Pakistan?
Afghanistan, Pakistan, But none of them were our demographic.
Yeah,
I
got the same notifications.
Arabia wasn't banned.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
What is this?
Nobody touching my spaghetti.
Somebody touching my spaghetti.
I don't think this is what we should play because I know it's going to get flagged.
Yeah, and we did the exact same joke.
Fuck it, fuck it, fuck
it. So we're, and now you're, it makes it look like we stole this fucking. And it's.
Nana.
You're playing. This is how fucking you're obsessed by memes. The name of that video was like, nobody touch my spaghetti meme.
Meme, yeah.
So it's a video about a meme.
Well, no, because they took a scene from what happened. And
Keep defending. No. It's indefensible. Your behavior is indefensible.
God damn it.
But
you argue everything.
Yeah, that's what I do with all the time.
You could, the police could catch you with a knife and a skull on the knife. You'd be like, I didn't kill.
Yeah.
That fucking knife came this way.
I'm doing theater, bro.
He fell on me and I caught the knife.
The text messages, I was play acting. How do you know it's me? Somebody could have taken my phone and said, I'm going to stab you in the head later tonight. Everything is an argument.
Yeah.
So we don't have any more cream. You don't have any more cream. You don't want me to have cream.
Yeah,
I'm very confrontational. Cream. I'm sorry.
It's absurd, bro. It's too tiring.
My manager, Michelle, used to be like that. Yeah. And my wife. And I remember, like, about 10 years ago, I told him once. I was like, look, whenever if you do something and I bitch about it, instead of, like, telling me how it's not your fault, Michelle, my wife didn't do this much.
My manager.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just texted him. I said, I'm recording.
Yeah, Michelle, whenever I'd tell him, I'd be like, hey, I did this thing. And then why didn't you tell him? Let's say I'd go to a show. Why didn't you tell him I wanted a cordless mic or a corded mic? And he'd be like, oh, I thought they'd have it. So, and then he'd be like, oh, those fucking guys. And then he'd bitch. And
But you didn't tell them.
I'd go, yeah, but. It's like I know they should have done it, but you should have just fucking tell me, hey, I should have told them.
Yeah,
like just that.
Yeah, next time I will. Yeah, that's what I always ask of him. Okay. But it's always confrontation.
And Marie, like when she worked, she used to be Michelle's assistant. So in real life, there'd never be anything like that. But then when she was his assistant. And I'd be like, hey, why didn't... She'd use the same excuses as him. And I'd be like, oh, you motherfuckers. You two of you just fuck... I was like, just fucking... If I say they... Why isn't there fucking this in the green room? Just say, oh, fuck, we forgot to tell them.
Not we assumed they would know. Because then that's it. You're wrong. You assumed.
Yeah.
It's your job to make sure it's there.
Yeah, like Jan this week, after last week's episode, I was like, oh, fuck, I hope. Remember I was saying I hoped he had mic'd the room?
Oh, bro.
So I, Jason, I sent them the video of Jean-Thomas falling, the one from the Jumbotron. Yeah. And then Jason writes, oh, this is going to be amazing when we get the sound.
Yeah.
So I was like... Oh, I was like, oh yeah, fucking Jan, it's going to be amazing when we get the sound. Just to see what he'd answer. And then he just answers back. He goes, the sound, I was recording the sound on one of the cameras. So, and I was like, what the fuck? You're recording on one of the cameras? Like, you didn't fucking mic the room? And then I'm like, seriously, if you didn't mic the crowd, that fucking podcast is ruined. And then he goes, yeah, but they must have mic'd the room. And I go, yeah, but
it's our job.
Why didn't you tell them? And he goes, well, it's a fucking, they know. And I was like, it's your fucking job. It's your fucking job. And then, oh, fuck, I was so angry. I was so angry. And then finally, like, they did mic the room.
Oh,
so we were good.
Holy
shit. We were good.
God.
But,
God,
but like, so there's no problem. No problem. But. The problem is that he didn't still ask. So if they hadn't done their job properly, we were fucked. You always need to fucking check on everything.
I was talking with one of the girls who missed the show. I did a show at Au Brevoir, and she had missed the podcast. She had to give away her tickets last minute. And she was like, oh, I saw the videos, none of this and that. She goes, I'm kind of thankful, she goes, because I know that the audio in the Bell Center is not the best, and I heard some people complain about that. So I'm happy to be able to see the final product. And then I look at it, I go, well, let's wait. We're still waiting to hear back if there's crowd audio. And she, bro, it was the funniest. She looks at me and does this. In French, she said it, but I'll say it to you in English. She goes, this is between me and you, but who was in charge of recording the audio? Was it Jan? Bro, and I start laughing. I was like, yeah. And she's like, tabarnak. Bro, she go, and I go, why would you, how'd you know that? She goes, because I watch Zekut. And she goes, and it's it, I assume that if there's a fuck up of that magnitude, it's because Mike trusted like the guy who operates in small scale to do it in big scale. Yeah. And I was dying. I go, what a guess to look at me and be like, was it Jan that was in charge?
But
like,
we had someone else directing the Jumbotron, and we had the sound guy. We had everyone.
So are there other shots that are not on the Jumbotron? Do we?
Jan has like four cameras.
But on stage, or are there the wide ones to see the
wide ones are from the Jumbotron, but we have the raw footage.
Also, we could.
So there's always four cameras from far, and then a bunch from close. Yeah, but see, Jan's job was just to make sure that the audio and the video is recorded.
Yeah.
And not even to record it. Not actually, just to make sure. Like, and the director was of the Jumbotron is a girl that used to be a cameraman or a camerawoman at Music Plus.
I saw her before the show, you told me. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So I've known her for a million years, and I knew that she was fucking, she was like a real fucking like top pro.
Yeah,
so
she made good decisions.
I was like, okay, so whatever footage that she got, like she knows where to send her dudes. It'll be amazing. The audio was weird in the Bell Center, but it's always weird in the Bell Center. Yeah. But the guy recording the audio, or the guy doing the audio is the best, like for the Bell Center. So I was like, that guy's gonna be good. So all we need, we got everything. Even without the cameras in the on stage, we're good. We're good. But I'm just happy everything was recorded.
Okay, so now that are you gonna hand it over to like a crazy pro to fix the audio perfectly to do all that?
For now it's in Jan's hands because he's like a top notch editor. Like
yeah, he's been doing it for years.
He used to do this at TQS, like in the old days. He was the one.
He also fixed the audio for, I think it was the Schultz one. Fixed the audio.
Yeah, yeah. That used to be his job, and it's his specialty. So now I think it's in the best hands possible. But it's just, he fucking freaked me out. I was so scared.
But did he know it was his job to record?
But he, like, because he did a thing like Poseidon does. He was like, I was like, why didn't you tell me? He goes, no, but everyone there treated me like shit. I got there and they acted. They're all union guys, and they treated me like I was bothering them. And I was like, yeah, but just tell them. Like when those guys were bitching about how fucking Quebec shows are always complicated, Michelle told them to fuck off.
Yeah, Michelle had the best.
Yeah. So just if someone,
Lady Gaga was easier, whatever. Michelle tells them, yeah, Lady Gaga was here. She sold 7,000 tickets less than Mike.
Yeah, but if someone treats you like shit, just answer back. Yeah. It's in your hands. It's your responsibility.
And it's a once in a lifetime event.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, but yeah, I think it was just what we should have done. We didn't think about this. And at the same time, like Jan was right, just for laughs, usually you have to pay, like, I think it's 80,000 or 100,000 to be able to film, like to have a proper film crew.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to pay that. JFL didn't want to, like, JFL wouldn't have paid that. Or if they would have, owned it, and then they would have sold it to fucking Crave or some garbage. So I didn't want them to have that. And then the Bell Center said, look, if you just do if it's an internet taping, just like a podcast, that you can do that, no problem. So then we had the Blackmagic cameras, and we got them to accept to give us the Jumbotron footage,
which is amazing
because that's 4K.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, that's super good quality. Our thing will be good quality, so it'll look good.
This might be as far as podcasts go, Jan's magnum opus.
Yeah.
What's a magnum opus? I'm sorry.
Like his great work, because so much footage. Because he's gonna have, let's say, the camera angles from the Jumbotron, but he's gonna have the extra angles too. First of all, he's have the raw footage.
Yeah.
So let's say the Jumbotron. Let's say when Mike, you saw the footage when Mike's looking up like this. Now imagine the raw footage where you zoom out, and you see Mike looking up like this. And it's just 20,000 people. Yeah. You see the wide shot.
Yeah.
Bro,
yeah,
that's goosebumps inducing. Yeah. That's the kind of edits he's got to make. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Jan, you know, when you thank him in the beginning, just him like this small. And then you see how small you and Jan are compared to.
And Jan, too, had guys doing a documentary about this.
I saw
this.
That. Yeah, they were cool.
So, and those guys, I think, I'm pretty sure, I hope Jan got them to, I think we're going to use some of their footage. So we'll have the four Jumbotron cameras, the two or four that were on stage, plus the three just random dudes walking around.
Wait till you hear the ovations. The ovations were fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And it had energy till the end, 4 hours, bro. People just
It was
it was absolute lunacy.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing what
product.
It looks like.
Yeah, me too.
But I think what we're gonna do, because I wanna go on tour with Susie Good, like do a couple of arenas in Quebec. And I think I'm gonna hire like a proper film crew for these shows to take stress out of Yan's hands. Like, just he shows up and he's just at his computer. He controls, you know, he's doing his thing. But we got other people just to make sure that the next day I'm not like,
do we have everything?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good idea. But the other thing that should be done that I noticed after speaking to people that were on the ground, because even the people with the seats, they couldn't hear well.
Yeah,
they had to be quiet. What I think should be done is monitors like we normally have on stage on the ground towards them. That'll help.
I think though, like, see, we did the it was the Bell Center guy that did the sound, and we were like, he's the best person. But I think I used to travel with I used to have a sound guy. Like, I traveled with him. I wouldn't bring him like the, hey, we're gonna to a museum in Paris. It sounds like we went to Punta Cana together. But I used to, when I tour, I had my sound guy, my light guy. I think for the podcast tour, I'm going to travel with a legit sound guy and a legit lighting guy, just to make sure
everything's
good. And a room like the Bell Center, you're not allowed, like, even if you have a sound guy, you have to pay their sound guy who's just there. Because it's a union thing. But I was like, I don't care. Like, even if it costs me a couple thousand more, just to make sure
everything is
perfect. Yeah.
But the Bell Center turned the because you talk about lights. When you talk about lights, you talk about the stages and that. The guy, Daniel, who did it.
Yeah.
Motherfucker, it was beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Daniel, that's his fucking specialty. He's an idea guy. And if you tell him, I need the show to look like this. And then he'll go, how much budget do you have? And if you tell him I have a million, he'll make the fucking best thing in the world. If you only have 1,000, he'll do, you know,
whatever he can.
He did. There's a movie Will Ferrell did where he's the, like, there's a narrator in his head. And
new?
No, about 15 years ago. Will Ferrell, like, and then he realizes he's in a book. And the author of the book, he knows her, and every book that she writes, the lead guy always dies. So he's kind of talking to the author.
Don't kill me.
Don't kill me. And whenever
that's a good concept.
Whenever she writes stuff, you see the words on when you know that it's in the book, you see on the screen the words. And Daniel is the guy that did the visual setup of that.
Like, really?
Shit. Yeah, when I hired him, Daniel is the guy that made GSP's logo too. He did GSP's logo. He did that movie. He did.
Does he do podcasts? I would love to have him on the French cast. Ask him about all this shit.
He'd be a good guy. He was at Moment Factory for a while.
Oh, they do crazy shit.
That's how I met him. Because when I first hired him, I wanted, like, this was the first years I'd heard about Moment Factory, and I was like, fuck, I need to get Moment Factory to work on my show. And then we called them, and they were crazy expensive because they were starting to work with Madonna.
Yeah.
And I think they hadn't done a Super Bowl yet, but they were going to do the Super Bowl, and they had just done the bridge, or they were going to do. So, like, I was like, hey, I want you to do my show. And they were like, okay, it's $7 million. And
I'll get back to you.
All right, I'll get back to you. And then my producer at the time, he was like, hey, I know a guy who used to work at Moment Factory, but he quit because he didn't like the structure of the company, and they didn't give him artistic freedom. He was like, do you want to meet him? And I was like, yeah, sure. So we meet him. I start talking to him. And as I'm talking to him, he starts doodling. And then he's like, you know, you ever notice how every comedian, there's a symbol that represents them? And he was like, whenever I think of you, I think of a X, because he goes, your comedy's kind of X-rated, you kind of go too far, your generation X. And then he draws up a plan. He's like, this could be your set. And he was like, and then your poster, he drew like a picture of me, and you'd have an X that on your mouth. That was the old. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, and the poster was the best poster I've ever seen for a comedy show in the world. Like, yeah, I've never seen anything that good. That was him, and he came to the and there was no Photoshop, and the effect, it was just, he rubbed Vaseline on my face. I don't know where he had heard that. I think they used to do that in the old days. I think, what the fuck was her name? Some old actress that when she got a little older, she'd put Vaseline on her face because they didn't have filters. So everyone would be kind of just fucking normal looking, and then she'd be all fucking shiny. So he put the Vaseline on my face, and then I looked at the picture and I was like, God damn, that's perfect. And the setup, he built me, like the decor was just a huge thing with neon lights. It was LEDs. It was really it was like a rock star show.
This guy's top of this.
Yeah. And then he did my next show that I opened up. The show started. I was in the lights came on. I was in a cage, and then the cage opened like a transformer thing, and I walked out, and then the cage became a huge X.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck.
It was like he was like he when he has money, he's fucking crazy good.
Crazy man. It's funny. I thought of going to work at Moment Factory years ago when I was in VR, because I saw the stuff they were doing, and I was like in VR pretty early, VR AR first. I thought, oh, it would be a good fit, and then I just never applied because the place that I was working at was like, it was in their beginning, and they really needed help, like they needed people there, so I felt guilty just bouncing. But I knew about them. I knew about Moment Factory. They did some crazy shit.
Yeah, they and see Daniel then after he. Like, he worked with me for a while, and then he went on to Cirque du Soleil. He was their vice president for a while. And he was, when he signed, I told you this off cam, but when he signed his deal, he told Cirque du Soleil, he was like, I accept to work for you guys, but if Mike Ward calls me and needs me for a project, I can leave whenever I want.
He told me this before that's he went out, right before the curtains, right? That's what Mike was talking about.
And see, like, the show Noir, I told him, like when I called him, I was fucking flat broke, right? When we came up with, like when we launched that show, I was like, look, I don't have any money. I'm producing this myself. I need a set that can fit in a fucking Toyota Tercel. Like just that. And so then he was like, okay. And he likes the concept that he's the one that came up with the X thing. So he's like, okay, so just a stool and then a carpet shaped like an X. That you can fit that in a car. And then he got the like for the Club Soda run, a fucking amazing light setup. He got a guy that works for the Cirque du Soleil to do the lighting. So it was a really, and cheap, it cost nothing. And he did that, I think he was doing a show for Cirque du Soleil, I think in Russia, or either Russia or some country that we don't get along with anymore.
Yeah.
But so it was either Russia or Saudi Arabia or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he was like, he told him, look, I got to take a couple of days off. And I was like, what the fuck? Imagine you're paying this fucking guy. I don't know how much. And he's like, look, I got to fucking buy a carpet.
Yeah, for Mike Ward. Yeah.
I got to buy a carpet for Mike Ward.
But he's a good dude.
Yeah, that's he's amazing. A very good dude.
He was very happy to be there. He was proud of his work.
And when he left the circus, apparently a lot of people left the Cirque du Soleil because they sold the company to China, like not the country, but Chinese people. And the people running it now are running it like a legit business. And it's a fucking circus. So it has to be
fun.
Has to be a fucking weirdo that runs it. Yeah, like the old guy that ran it was a fucking weirdo. He went to outer space with the money he made.
That's what you want.
Yeah, that's what you want. He's a clown.
Yeah.
You want a clown. But now it's fucking Chinese accountants. So it's not fun anymore. So he was like, fuck it. He left. And his partner is a girl, a woman that worked at the circus too.
Yeah, I met her.
Yeah. And she told me she was an acrobat. Like she started working at the circus as an acrobat when she was 11.
Oh, God, which shit.
Damn. Times have so fucking changed. She, I was like, was your family in the circus? Because I always thought, you know.
They're all like carnies.
Yeah. And she was like, no. And I was like, okay, so
you let you go at 11.
She was like, yeah, when I was 11, I'd go off to, hey, I'm going with the Cirque du Soleil to Spain for a month.
Holy shit.
And I was like, what the fuck? That's a weird life. That's like, she'd be good to have on the, she'd have crazy stories.
I'm going
to
get both of them. Yeah, this is, I love this.
Yeah, her husband, she told me, her husband is a fire guy. I was like, "What the fuck is a fire guy?" And she was like, "He's a fire guy." So he, I don't know if he spits fire or juggles fire
or starts fires. Or starts, he's a fire guy. What do you mean, arson?
He's a fire guy.
Is it the arson?
Yeah, he's a fire guy. Yeah.
He learned a lot of tricks. Yeah. Hasn't caught yet. Yeah. I'm willing to admit he does it. That's how confident I am. He won't get caught.
Yeah. He's a fire guy. You mean like a fireman? Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Kind of. He works with them.
Yeah, adjacent. Yeah. Some would say the firemen would have no career without him.
Yeah, yeah. You know, firemen, when they do overtime, they get paid double. So he's making firemen rich.
He helps firemen make extra money. Yeah.
Whenever
you
see a fireman driving a nice car, thank my husband.
Yeah.
He's an arsonist. Yeah. You wanted to talk about Saudi Arabia?
Yes. Yeah.
It's the last thing we're going to talk about.
Okay.
But we have to show Mike, because I only saw it yesterday. I thought it was fake until you brought it up.
I thought it was fake too, bro, but everyone's talking about it.
What's happening in Saudi Arabia?
So, you know, Saudi Arabia, the royal family, they're like a bunch of fucking bamboozlers. They got trillions of dollars.
What?
What was that sentence?
You're saying that the Saudi royals don't think about their people? They're not doing this to their people? Have the fucking media lied to me? They made them look like fucking heroes? You're saying that the country that's been letting women drive since February are garbage people?
Bamboozlers, you say?
Yeah, they're bamboozlers.
But this is a good idea. Okay.
Yo, this is wild. Like, what the they have numerous projects.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, but this one is insane.
Okay. Yeah. I'm very happy because number one, it would remove the ability of women to drive.
Okay.
So road safety goes way up. Or men to drive too. No one's gonna drive.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if I can. I'm going to put audio on this. I don't know if it's going to be...
Don't put audio on this.
Okay. Because she explains a lot of this.
I know. I'm going to try.
Yeah, but if you guys watched it, you can explain it.
Bring up the video. You're right. The thing is, they want to build this by 2030. There's no way it's going to get done by 2030. Actually, they have slaves, so maybe. It's a skyscraper city. Press play, Poseidon. Can you... Fuck. That is a planet.
Okay.
Planet Earth is what they call it. Okay. And now we're zooming in to the desert.
Saudi Arabia,
yeah.
A revolution in civilization, they're calling it. They want to take basically all of those city blocks and they want to bamboozle them into a really tall line.
On top of each other in a 3D method.
Okay.
Yeah. There's this crazy high-tech glass all around it. So if aliens come, they might not even know we're there.
They want to do like a Fermont. You know the place we went?
Yeah, yeah.
But this is like a rich
desert. Yeah.
The desert. But the thing is, every neighborhood has everything you need in it, so you don't have to travel too far. So you have schools, grocery stores, everything close. So even if...
It takes you 5 minutes at most.
It takes you 5 minutes at most to get to every major thing in the neighborhood. Yeah. And every neighborhood that's in there has its own thing, so that you don't have to travel too far. It's I forgot how many kilometers long the entire stretch.
170.
But you can get from one end to the other in minutes because of the cars that they have, those automatic shit. It's on real shit. If ever you need a car. Autonomous service.
Oh, this looks like the... But this looks like a future, but a shitty future.
Well, here's my argument.
I've seen Elysium.
I think it's shitty because I'm a man of freedom, and I feel like this removes your freedom. You can't have your own land. Yeah. You can't build your own stuff. But I find it very impressive with the mirrored glass in case the aliens come so they don't know we're in there.
I think that's just for the heat. The mirrored glass, I think it's just so the heat doesn't... So it doesn't attract, so it bounces off.
But it doesn't have to be mirrored.
Like the sun. Yeah, well, but I'm just saying.
I love the mirror. I love the being incognito. However, it's fucking insane. But there's something crazy. Just the balls to start.
But
this
you know
crazy.
What this feels like? Remember in the old days, whenever we'd think about the future, we'd be like, in the future, instead of food, we're going to have pills. So cars are going to fly and we're going to have pills. But then you go, but food. People don't eat food for nutrition.
They
eat food because it's delicious.
Yeah.
So if you can make, you'd have to get hypnotized by some fucking weirdo to think that pills are delicious for it to work. And this is the same thing. Like, it's good. It's a good idea. But anyone that has a house with land
won't want this.
Won't want it. Like someone that lives in the country will be like, I have fucking 19 acres.
Yeah.
And fucking this thing, even if I can get to the. If I could get to the 19 acres in 5 minutes, I'm
but
in.
But this is for hardcore city people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is like the people that now love it. They're like bitsies and all that shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is for, they're going to love that
this
shit.
Is but this, they're going to build this in just some fucking random
in the middle of the
spot.
Desert, yeah.
I guess. Or yeah. I guess it's in the desert.
It is. It feels like a Dubai, but better.
Yeah, it is very impressive.
Yeah. The only thing is you're in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of bad dudes. Yeah. There's a lot of bad dudes.
God damn.
But it's cool as
shit. Even like Dubai, that's supposed to be like the freest place in the Arab world, is fucking horrible. So imagine this place.
I want to know what they're going to do like with all their cars and shit. Like where are they going to put them?
Well, they're not going to live there all the time. The new world isn't 170 kilometers. That's a town. That's a thing.
Okay.
The world is not going to cease to exist.
Yeah.
Riyadh is still going to exist, bro. They're not going to blow up.
So they're going to have like other little cities all around it and shit.
No.
The real cities are still going to exist. Who's financing this? Is it the royal family?
The royal family, yeah.
So they're probably like, okay.
But besides, you understand, let's say right now, like Fairmont. Fairmont exists. We didn't destroy Quebec and Montreal.
So it's Quebec still exists. Thing.
Quebec
we
still
thought
exists.
When they built Fremont, because I knew Montreal still exists because you're in it now.
Yeah.
But when I look at all the streets, I think they're taking everything down.
Oh, everything's still gonna exist.
Okay,
this is another thing. It's kind of like when they were saying we're gonna build those islands, the Palm Islands they have there. Anybody's like, you guys are crazy. You can't build islands.
Yeah.
You can't make a fake beach. And they did it.
Yeah.
The rest, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, they all still exist.
Yeah. It's like when your younger brother was born, they didn't murder you. They were like, look, we'll just abandon him.
We're just going to take his Sega Genesis away from him.
Yeah, and put all the responsibility on him.
A man who hates responsibility can't handle it. Just put it all on him.
Yeah.
All right, look, if you've enjoyed this, then head over to Patreon. Mike's got a Patreon, patreon.com/Suzekud, for Mike Ward Suzekud, the number one French language comedy podcast on the planet. And sooner rather than later, I think within a month maybe, the episodes from the Bell Center will be up on the Patreon first. And I'm telling you, they're bangers.
Yeah.
You got all of them are exciting. Every moment is exciting. You don't know what's going to happen. Crazy time, 4K. 8K, it's going to be amazing. MikeWard.ca for Mike Ward's tour dates. Mike's got Quebec City coming up, a residency in Gatineau in the month of August, and then going back
Quebec
in October.
City isn't coming up because when
this is the past.
We're doing a show. Actually, we're doing a show tonight. As you're watching this, we're on stage in Quebec City.
Yelling at people.
Yeah.
Poseidon's online, DeepPoseidon69. Also, if you want all his links, linktree.com/IamPoseidon. I got that correct?
Absolutely correct.
I'm a good spokesperson for you. PantelsComedy.com. That's it. Get all the links over there for patreon.com/Pantels. Thank you all very much and go fuck yourselves.
Perfect.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.